My name is Aiko Kunio, and I'm Ruth Asawa and Albert Lanier's oldest daughter.
I'm Paul Lanier. I'm Ruth's youngest son.
A lot of these are people who helped her in her art making. If she needed to learn something and she didn't know how to do it, she'd go find that person, and some of those people are on this wall.
Artists, architects, you name it, all kinds of people. She would say, "You have such an interesting face. Can I cast your face?"
She learned it from a man who was a teacher at Washington High School, and she just took off from there. She cast hundreds of faces, and she would sometimes do it on the kitchen table or on the living room floor, and she would try and just capture somebody. If she thought they had an interesting face, she would try and get them to do it right then, and most people would say yes.
Hi, my name is Sophia. I'm one of Ruth's three granddaughters. I first had my face cast when I was about 3.5 years old, and I remember it being a really special experience.
My name is Lily Lanier. I am one of Ruth's grandchildren.
I remember Grandma Ruth casting my face. I loved the process. She would cut a hole in a piece of cardboard so that it would fit around my face. Then she had me put Vaseline all over my face so it wouldn't stick to my hair or my skin. And then she'd have me lay down on a table with a pillow under my head and tell me to close my eyes, and she would slowly pour the plaster on my face and sculpt it carefully around my nose to make sure the only part of my face showing was my nostrils.
Her confidence really made you feel like, oh, this is just a routine thing that grandparents do.
Everybody trusted her. Yeah. I think people were probably pretty honored, too, to have their face cast.
This is Terry Lanier, Ruth's daughter-in-law. It seemed to take a long time for the plaster to set up, but it actually only took a few minutes. It was a strange sensation to have the cast removed.
She would lift off the plaster mold, and then she would look in it and say, "Oh, wow, it came out beautiful." Then she would press the clay in. She was always experimenting with different colors of clay.
It was such a magical process to pull the clay out of the mold and see the face appear.
And she tended to not want to do too much cleaning up on the masks. She kind of liked that they weren't perfect. She liked to draw people. So I think it was interesting for her to then have a three-dimensional representation of somebody's face. It was also the capturing of a moment, because the person's face changes, but it's forever recorded there in the clay mask.
Every line, every curve, every detail is there.
As my mother made these masks, she would put them up on the shingled wall of her house. And she started to run out of room. And then Stanford also chose to paint the background a brown color like the house, and to incorporate that sort of curvy wave, maybe as a nod to her aesthetic of, you know, meanders and the looped wire, because that's an aesthetic that she was always exploring.
She was constantly experimenting, and, you know, just like she did with her sculptures, it was always like, wow, this is really amazing. Now what's next? Where can I take this? I am Henry Waverka, and I am one of Ruth Asawa's 10 grandchildren.
One thing I really admire about my grandmother is her ability to build community. She always had people come into the house. She had folks there all the time, and I think that the wall of masks is kind of almost a physical embodiment of that community. She really cut across, I think, a broad swath of San Francisco.
My name is Emily Del Real. I was a fifth grader at Alvarado Elementary School in San Francisco. I was just a regular old student who enjoyed working with art and getting my hands dirty. And I think Ruth realized that I enjoyed that. So she would ask me to participate in a lot of different types of art while she was helping out at Alvarado.
My mask.
It's one of my most prized possessions. It has life.
And I think that's why this installation is so powerful, because it brings together people from all walks of life with all different backgrounds into one just really, really unique piece of artwork. I think it just speaks to how democratic she was with her art making and community involvement.
In the photos that accompany this audio piece, you'll see images of Ruth making masks and the close-ups of some of the masks she made from her plaster molds. If you are at the Cantor Art Center in person, you will also find a map pointing out some of the people on the wall. As well as family and friends, you'll see artists who taught and studied with Ruth at the renowned Black Mountain College in the late 40s.
She said she was a citizen of the universe. You know, these masks kind of say that also. We're all part of the universe. That's the kind of thing I think she would want us to think.